Come on, Sister Barbara.
Awesome. Oh, we love it, Terry. I'm gonna start by drawing a picture over here on this board. When a seed falls, it falls to the ground. Here's heaven. And here's earth. And what happens to the seed first is it begins to open. Does anyone know any biology? What happens after the seed breaks open? It goes like this. It begins to descend downward. And it's dark down here. There's no light down here. But in our human experiences, and in here, I'm going to cite one thing that's key for us today, that says religious systems, they keep the seed incubated in darkness, and it begins to build a little root system. But then something happens. Does anyone know what happens? The seed repents. The word repent means, Mark?
Change things.
Turn.
Change the way that you think. And so then the seed begins to sprout, it breaks the plane of the earth and begins to ascend. You couldn't have this if you don't have this.
That's right.
We cannot be angry at what we learned here. Because it's in this process, like Avis said, that all that is to experience humanity. And in this place, the seed reaps the treasures of darkness. Is that good?
That's good.
Those are your human experiences. So everything that we experience that is below the enlightenment, we can't forsake. It's necessary. It's beneficial. Everything we experience here helps us build this so that it's strong enough so that we can do this.
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes.
Lau, help me this morning. Add some pictures.
Can you go ahead and go to that second screen?
I showed this in Peculiar. Does anyone remember this? Didn't I show this in Peculiar? Isn't that just a phenomenal image of the human being that's incubating beneath the soil in humanity, reaping the treasures of darkness? Isn't that beautiful? I love that picture. And in this position, if you can see, the being there is asleep. For those that know me as a deliverance minister, exorcist for probably the better part of a decade in the 90s, and I learned all about good and evil. I learned all about those outward expressions and manifestations of evil, and really focused most of my time and attention on that. It was in 1999 that I began to awaken. And when I say awaken, my head came up above the ground, and I started to see things from a different perspective. One of my longtime mentors, this is a woman that has raised the dead, and she mentored me in deliverance ministry and exorcism and many other things. She was at my house year before last, and I was teaching her some of the things that I had seen with my head above the plane of the earth. And she said, Barbara, you cannot tell me that there is no hell, for I have been there. You cannot tell me that there is no Satan, because I have stood before him. And she was standing before me, like maybe 2 feet apart, looking at me, chastising me, mentor to mentee. And I looked at her and I said these words. I said, Nancy, those things will appear externally as long as you need them to. But when you begin to awaken, you see that all of these principles are internal, expressed externally so that the ego within you can learn and see by their example. Does that make sense?
Yes.
These things appear externally. You have a knowledge of an external hell, a knowledge of an external Satan. These things appear externally as long as we need them to.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some junk, and you know, but the more I think of it, it's like, how much is there's a whole putting energy into it, and we're creating the very thing that we fight.
And it's purposeful. All that is seeks, I'm going to say this, all that is seeks a material body with which to explore the multiverse. Should I say that again?
Yes.
All that is seeks a material body from which to explore the multiverse. Because before the material world was established, before the, who said Big Bang last night? Who was it?
Daryl.
All that is was not in a physical domain. All that is was not in a physical domain. You've heard me say this before. If you heard me last year here, Carl Sagan said, if you wish to bake an apple pie from scratch, you must first create the universe. If you want to do anything in a material way, if you want to hug a baby, pet a dog, drink a good glass of wine, eat a steak, smoke a cigar, have sex, you can't do it unless you have a physical body. So there was this grand plan enacted, a physical universe created, and a biological container evolved.
Exactly.
And got to a point where it was perfect. Mm-hmm. And that's some of what I want to talk to you about today. So, Lyle, let's go to the next slide. I've already told you about my precious deer in the hog trap. But in Hebrews 5:8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, stop. Don't look externally when I read this. Though you were a son, you learned obedience by the things that you suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God as an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. You know what that word dull of hearing means? It actually means bastard. You can't hear it because you don't understand your origin, who your father is. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern both good and evil. Let me ask you this. What tree do we eat from? Let me tell you this. If you can look at the bombings that happened in Boston and call it evil, what tree are you eating from?
That's right. So true.
That's below the plane of the earth. And is it necessary?
Yes.
Yeah.
Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have had their senses exercised, your emotions exercised, to discern both good and evil. So when you see something, planes that knock into the two towers, and call it evil, guess what? What tree are you eating from? This is such a simple principle.
It is.
And yet when I talk to Christians, or I put something on my message board, and I say, that's dualism, you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they don't get it. And to transition the age, guess what we must stop doing? This is simple. But when you are down here, guess what you can't see yet? And there are people that won't understand these principles, and they are not wrong. They're germinating. Unless we be prideful and say, oh, I know, I'm a mature tree. Remember that the seed is closer to all that is because it had just fallen from the mature tree and entered into darkness. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a law of circularity here. So we can't point our finger at somebody and judge them lest we eat from... Say it. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, what's being said here? I long to tell you about... What does it say? Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Who are they talking about? You know that Melchizedek, I think, is mentioned just three times in Scripture, and there's hardly anything said in those three lines? Paul is saying, I want to teach you about immortality. I want to teach you about things that you don't know. But I've come to you with this information, but you're hard of hearing because you've been eating or drinking milk. Meat is reserved for those who are of full age, having had their senses exercised to discern good from evil. Paul wants to teach us about immortality, but he's saying you're babes. Next slide. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ... Wait a minute. What is that? What do we have to leave?
Doctrines.
Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection.
Yes.
Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God? Okay, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, some translations say leaving the elementary things, laying aside elementary principles, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let me tell you about this right there. I'm sorry if I'm repetitive, some of you may have heard this, but on the back of a Harley driving through the rainforest on Oahu, I said, God, you can't tell us to leave behind. Leaving behind the principles of the doctrine of Christ, faith toward God. I said, I don't get it. Leaving behind faith toward God? That can't be right. And I heard a voice, that voice that percolates, not from your intellect, but from another place, that voice said the key in understanding this phrase is the word toward. Because it implies direction outside of yourself. Remember when I said to my friend Nancy, these things will appear externally as long as you need them to?
Exactly.
What we're experiencing now is something that she called the divine inversion. She preached about it, taught about it, but then she never entered into that. And that's where everything external you now see as internal.
Exactly.
It's part of your framework. It's an unseen principle of creation. Faith toward God, he told me. Keys in understanding the word toward. Of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands. You know how many times I was baptized? Just in case? How many were baptized once? How many were baptized twice? How many were baptized three times?
You have to get the name right.
How many were baptized four times? How many were baptized five times? So you get an idea of how much fear was inside of me. One of the times I was baptized, I was with a youth pastor, and a bunch of us youth ran off the end of a pier and into a lake. And as an adult, I realized that was peer pressure. Oh, come on! Okay, Joseph Campbell, one of the world's renowned experts on myths, mythology, and symbolism, allegory, metaphor, says that water represents human consciousness. Leaving behind the doctrines of baptism, we immersed ourselves in water or sprinkled chunk junk. What does that tell you? It tells me that just like this seed that goes into darkness, divinity is willingly baptized into humanity. So when John baptized, he was preparing the way of understanding, not for humans necessarily, he was trying to awaken the divine within that has gone to sleep under the spell of heavy materiality and rule and reign of the ego. It's gone to sleep. So the act of lowering one into water and then raising them up, it's saying that that spark of the divine that's been invested in you is inside of you, but has gone to sleep while you're in darkness. Mm-hmm. Not that it's wrong. It's perfect and it's intended, but there comes a time to wake up. And now remember this, water represents dense human consciousness. And what was one of the samples, examples, metaphors, did Jesus do? What did he do but walk
on
water, above human reasoning? And he bids us come, right? Okay. And this we will do if God permit. Let's back up a little bit. The doctrines of baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, leaving behind principles of the doctrines of Christ. Again, some places says elementary, some places says first principles of the resurrection of the dead. Because you know what? It's not what you think it is. It's not graves busting open, necessarily. It's this grave busting open while it's standing here.
Amen.
And being clothed with its light.
Yes.
Amen. All right, and of eternal judgment. Leaving behind these things because they're elementary, they're foundational. They taught you something, but it was at a level that you could only perceive while you're below the plane of the earth. You're in darkness. So I'm gonna, you know, what we were given were things that we could only grasp as people that were in darkness. But they're called foundational things. Again, you can't just, this building is a multi-dimensional building. That's what we're being built into, but we have to leave behind some of this dogma in order to go on to perfection. And this we will do if God permit. Guess what? That permission's been granted. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Here's what happens. We leave behind these four things. One, two, three, four, five, six things. And we receive enlightenment. tasting the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, taste of the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. Once we leave behind some of these understandings, like Lynn said last night, words that are not uttered, does that sound familiar? That's being baptized in the Spirit. It's when the wind rushes into the upper room.
So and we all have our own awakening, consciousness awakening?
Absolutely.
So when Solomon said, don't wake before your time, would that be something?
Exactly. What happens when you try to wake someone up before they're ready to get up?
They get very cranky.
You go and try and wake someone up before the time, what happens? There's a purpose here. And even that, when a little seed germinates and breaks the plane of the earth, if you go try and hang a mature orange on it, what happens? There's a purpose for our journey. And we have to step into a place of appreciating the journey and not judging it, and not judging one another.
Yes.
Lest we create more of what we focus on.
What's the Holy Ghost?
I'll cover that in a little bit.
Sorry.
It's good. And remind me if I don't specifically go to that. Let me just touch here on intuiting these things that I'm talking to you about when I speak about baptism metaphorically, or when Lynn talks about what words really mean. I'm trying to create a bridge. We're trying to create a bridge between your intellect and your intuitive faculties. The brain is separated into two hemispheres, left and right, or east and west. The right side of the hemisphere is your intuitive faculties, your artistic abilities, imagination. The left side is really more linear, logical. And this is largely where the earth in consciousness, where we are in consciousness, is located, is in this part of the brain. And if you look at the earth, what is the eastern hemisphere of the earth like? Eastern religions, mystical. What is the Western hemisphere like? So as above, so below. Jesus said this. They asked him when these things would be coming to pass. He was talking in Matthew 24 about all sorts of things happening in the earth. Earthquakes, you know, the moon turning to red, blah, 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 blah. Again, not external, internal. When will we see these things come to pass? And Jesus said, as lightning flashes from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be in his kingdom. Lightning flashing from the east to the west. On Nova or Discovery Channel, they wired up a human brain. When they asked it a question that was intuitive, this side of the brain lights up. If they ask the person a question that's logic-based, this side of the brain lights up. So he's saying, if you originate your thought, if you let it come from this part of the brain over to this part of the brain, if this part is the master and this part is the servant, that's when you see the kingdom manifest. Does that make sense? That's why we're trying to get you to see the metaphorical, not historical or literal, translation of some of these texts. You have to see it not from a literal viewpoint.
But then the logical falls right in place when you
Once it originates over here, this becomes a servant. So what does the scripture say the letter does? And let me ask you a question. Are we dying? Do our bodies age? Cancers. Diabetes. This is a collective consciousness that's going to cross the bridge into the age to come. And it starts with just a small percent of people that wake up to this understanding, to see things metaphorically, and begin to get a broader glimpse of all that is and what's happening, not only in our bodies, but in the earth as well. The letter kills. The literal historical translation of things is one-dimensional, foundational. We have to leave those things aside in order to go on to perfection. We're not going to get there if we stay within the letter of the law. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You go to the next slide, Zipper.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Melchizedek. We know he's an immortal being. It says he's without mother or father, without genealogy. But he's also a priest. Is he not?
Mm-hmm.
And a priest is what bridges the gap between the divine and man. But Melchizedek bears an energy that surpasses what we know and are able to handle. Where did I get that information from? Does anyone know? That's part of what comes upon you. That's part of information not spoken with words. Now, Melchizedek received a tithe from Abraham's loins. Did y'all know that? Let's go to the next slide. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tithe, or a tenth of everything. And I'm not sure that I understand this in its entirety, but I know that down here, it says that Levi paid tithes when he was in the loins of Abraham. Something is given to Abraham. Lynn, we talked about this being the reserve seed, the corn that was found in your grandfather's pocket. There's a company that's here on the earth that will bear the same energy as Melchizedek, and it will bridge the dimensions from this age to the next. Can I just read this here? Because I know that it's confusing. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Remember when God said he would make Abraham a great nation and that his descendants would number the stars? And without all contradiction, the less is believed is blessed of the better. That's when Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And here men that die receive tithes, silver, crops, food, gifts. But there, Melchizedek received them. Do you get that?
Yes. I never heard that before.
Of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And this is where it goes on and said that Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So what I'm telling you is that in this age and in this time, we're going to be experiencing divine intrusions. And there are those that have been given over to the Melchizedek order. Their energy will increase. Their bodies will pay a significant price in vibrational difference. But there has been given a tithe to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is manifesting in the earth today.
Mm-hmm.
Today. Next slide. Something is received into immortality. That's the tithe of the seed that was in Abraham's loins. Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything, apparently even those unborn beings in Abraham's loins. Still pay Melchizedek. This tithe would serve Melchizedek down through the ages as the tithe from Abraham's loins is continually given to the Melchizedek priesthood. This tells me that there is a people promised to serve or to pay tithes to Melchizedek through priestly servitude. This tithe will become a vibrational bridge as it consumes meat or instruction regarding immortality in the storehouse. They in turn will bring meat to the masses. Go to the next screen real quick. Malachi, we're all familiar with this. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come into his temple. Who's the temple? The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Are we a part of the Levitical priesthood today?
Yes.
Now, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And the voice speaks and says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, how many times have we heard this spoken of? Because we didn't pay money to an institution. But yet a few verses earlier, and I challenge you to look this up, it says that we rob God when we extract money from wage earners, from anything other than to tend the fatherless, the widow, the homeless. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. So when Paul says, you've been drinking milk, milk is for babes, right? Mm-hmm. Meat is for those that are full age. Mm-hmm. Meat is teaching or learning about the Melchizedek order. It's learning about immortality. It's building the bridge from one dimensional level to the next. Mm-hmm. But it says that we've robbed him because we have not brought that tithe into the storehouse. Who's the tithe? I'm going to challenge you because I think you're here because you're part of that tithe. I'm after the tithe. I'm after the 10% that was given. You get it, don't you? I'm after the 10% that has been given to Melchizedek. And they will become a vibrational bridge linking one age to the next. But you have to come into the storehouse, so that there is meat in season, and only you can discern what the storehouse is.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Yes.
Bring the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Now this is that wind coming into the upper room, and it's the word spoken without sound. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. What is the windows of heaven? Access to the next dimensional level. Access to the next dimensional level. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. You know who you are. Bring the tithe into the storehouse so that there may be meat in my house, so that people may receive meat in season. Test me in this, and I will pour out a blessing that there shall be not room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. What is that saying? That's talking about the fruit from our bodies. It's talking about overcoming death and destruction. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall you your vine cast for fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord. All nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Next slide. The windows of heaven open and blessings poured, revelation beyond our dimensional level open to us. Revelation beyond our dimensional level open to us. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
These are promises when you come into the storehouse. Now, I'm speaking to you a mystery. I'm not speaking to your intellect.
Right.
Only you can discern what the storehouse is. It's a place of collection. It's a place of great meat that is given to those that come in to the storehouse. And I'm giving you a charge today And I know this sounds mysterious, but you know in your knower that you know what the storehouse is. Go to that place in consciousness and receive the meat that is offered. Meet in my house, it says. Where, who, or what is God's house? Say it out loud. Can't hear you.
Where are we? The house.
You're the house of God. What is the tithe? The tithe is a people given to Melchizedek through the loins of Abraham, a reserved seed that's manifesting in the earth all along, but especially now. Meet is instruction regarding immortality. Do we get instruction on immortality anywhere? Has anyone been given instruction on immortality? Has anyone been given instruction on immortality?
Me.
All right. Where'd you get it from?
You.
I just had a feeling.
That's right.
That's all I call it.
That's where it's coming from. It's percolating up from within.
And when shall this immortal put on immortality? Paul goes on saying, I thank God. So right now.
The meat is instruction regarding immortality. Again, a baby can't chew steak, right? This tithe or priesthood will dispense meat. When I was typing this, I had an experience, this last statement. Because I thought, I can't teach this stuff. This stuff is too symbolic, too metaphorical, too this or too that, but it's not intellectually discerned. This is something that is intuitive. And I'm telling you with all earnest, heed the call.
Yes. Yes.
Heed the call.
Yes.
Go into the storehouse.
Amen.
Whether it's meditation, whether it's getting still, whether it's slowing down the race horse of the charging steam engine of the ego that continually chatters, if you can quiet that, you will be in what many call the storehouse. And you will receive information beyond your dimensional level.
That's right.
Bring the tithe into the storehouse. Bring your body, bring your ego, bring your racing mind into a place of stillness and see if I will not open the windows and pour out such a blessing that you can't contain it. Heed the call. All right, this is where it gets fun. I talked about this a little bit last night, the Toronto blessing, for those that were there. Azusa Street, the Cane Ridge Revival, even with those that ran when Moses began to speak about the things of God and their hair turned white. Am I right? They ran and ran because they were afraid. There have been divine intrusions from other dimensional levels from antiquity. It's always been here.
Right.
But there's been a purpose for the seed being below the plane of the earth. It's necessary for us to become fully exercised in the knowledge of good and evil. But all along, there has been little tweaks, little intrusions of divinity that have come into us. And for those that were around during the Toronto Blessing, Cane Ridge Revival back in the 1700s, you know where the term barking up a tree came from? People would hang onto trees during the Cane Ridge Revival in Cane Ridge, Kentucky, and bark and howl. They held onto trees because their bodies quaked and shaked, which is where we get the Quakers and the Shakers. They experienced a divine intrusion from another dimensional reality. Same thing happened just back in the 90s with the Toronto Blessing. Anyone go to Toronto? Oh, you guys missed. That was a lot of fun. I shook and jerked and rolled and roared like a lion. I heard people cluck like chickens. I heard roosters sound. And all of these things are mysteries, but what it was, and it was real, the holy laughter. Who heard of the holy laughter? Divine intrusion, penetration from another dimensional level, coming in slowly into the consciousness in the earth, shaking off some of our dust. Do you know that when a lion roars, and that was a lot of what happened during the Toronto Blessing and the Pensacola outpouring, people would be on all fours roaring like lions and shaking their head. I was one of them. And do you know that when a lion roars, it usually is accompanied by the shaking of a mane, which shakes off the dust of your human, earthly, carnal walk. I'm not going to pretend like I know it all, but I know that back then was a very special time. I was healed of a lot of emotional baggage, and I know a lot of people were. And it wasn't just the Toronto Blessing or what happened in Pensacola or in New Zealand. It wasn't just what happened at Azusa Street or during the Cane Ridge Revival or when they ran miles hearing God's voice penetrate the earth realm in the Old Testament. These examples have been in our history all along, and we are experiencing intrusions of divinity into our biology. This is fun. I was thinking one day about the missing link. Where is it? And this is what came to me as a divine intrusion, information from another level, from another dimensional level. Because I do believe that we were evolved. Mm-hmm. I don't think that for those that follow the Bible, I don't think that the Bible and evolution cannot coexist. I have a friend that calls it creationism, David Hulse. But of course the earth is older than 6. I won't even get into that. But so popularly, it's the thinking that there is a missing skeletal example in our evolutionary ladder between what is deemed to be animal and man. Neanderthal, considered to be animal, is the last example before this gap between it and man was considered to be instinctual rather than intellectual. Neanderthal was instinctual. But then something happened, and this is what came to me. I feel that divinity initially penetrated the bloodline somewhere along this point in linear time when Neanderthal was the premier being on the planet, possibly when Pisces was prominent in one of the many previous precession of the equinoxes, because that's a place of penetration. The age of Pisces, the birth portal, the Vesta Pisces, is a place of penetration. For those that know metaphorically, that's the loop. Okay, thanks.
I'd say applying, but my wife would not.
that's the woo-hoo. Ooh. From that penetration produced a being that was inspired the modern human. This being had art, imagination, and vision. It was endowed at that time with the spark of the divine, and it caused a quantum leap in our physiological makeup, and there is no missing link. It was a time of divine intrusion. Divine intrusions have been happening all along, incrementally, but this was another time where divinity penetrated the bloodline, and we went from being purely instinctual to having inspiration. Homo erectus had art. Neanderthal could not imagine. And guess what happened to Neanderthal? Come on. They died out. So somewhere along the line, divinity said, all right, we've had the Big Bang, we have created a material universe, now let's create a dwelling place for ourselves. Oh look, now look, 10 fingers, 10 toes, the ability to construct, it has a beautiful brain, let's inspire it. And divinity penetrated the bloodline and produced the next species. which is Homo erectus. You following me? Interesting? Weird? Subsequently, there's been no missing link found because there is none. Divinity was carefully watching and observing the progress of its investment into the material plane, carefully tweaking the creature to become a more suitable habitation for itself. Many, many times had this and other creatures been the observer's object of interest, and by the sheer magnitude of its thoughtful gaze, causes leaps in our physical and conscious evolution. Can I read that again? By the sheer magnitude of its, divinity's, thoughtful gaze causes leaps in our physical and conscious evolution. This was a divine intrusion. Okay, Jacob's ladder. We know that Jacob falls asleep with a rock for a pillow, dreams of a ladder, most likely spiral in nature, like that of the DNA molecule. Here upon the ladder, he sees messengers ascending and descending upon it. Go to the next slide, sweetheart. Jacob goes on to name the place where he laid his head, Bethel. What does Bethel mean?
House of God.
Who is the house of God?
We are.
So we see that God's dwelling is not a building, but metaphorically within a state of consciousness and maybe even the consciousness of the DNA molecule itself. Surely God is here in this place, and I did not know it. Jacob was speaking as an egoist man. Remember what Jacob means? Jacob means supplanter. It's one who forcefully seizes the place of another, the ego. Surely God is here, and my ego didn't know it. Jacob means supplanter, and supplanter means one who seizes the place of another, much like the ego has done within our authentic and underlying identity, divinity or spirit. The ego temporarily seizes the place of divinity, while divinity grows within the belly of humanity. Mm-hmm. That sounds like another parable, doesn't it? Jonah? Within the belly of the great fish?
Yep.
Consciousness incubating within the age of Pisces? Jacob did not know God dwelled within. Later, as Jacob struggles with an angel, we are told his name is also changed from Jacob to Israel. May God prevail. He struggles with God. Next slide. In the grand plan of divinity, wanting to find itself a helpmate, a suitable biological container or body must be created or evolved, if you will. Then a holy impregnation occurs in the manger of our base humanity, and this spark of the divine is deposited into our collective consciousness, and a synergy, a cooperative effort is covertly established. And we see this happening through the story of Mary. This spark-like ember of the divine must grow slowly, lest the delicate circuitry of the human become overwhelmed. I've experienced that. With the Toronto Blessing and over in Pensacola, I saw a friend of ours was pasted up against a wall 6 inches above the floor. Saw very many unusual things happen. Were you there? Did you experience it? Hold on, no? The divine must grow slowly, lest the delicate circuitry of the human become overwhelmed. The human is unaware that it has been inoculated with something holy, mysterious, and divine that will expand within our consciousness over millennia. I believe Jacob saw this indwelling presence of the divine metaphorically within our DNA. Surely God is here, and we did not know it. Next slide. Now, I touched on this last night. Because I'm telling you that if you take the time and you go into the storehouse, you go into your place of stillness and of meditation, you will experience a divine intrusion. You will. It was about 10 years ago when I first started to experience this. How many people have heart palpitations? Raise your hand up. very common manifestation of divinity expanding within the consciousness. Skin rashes, thyroid issues, growths, restless leg syndrome. Very common. Hands up all over. Very common. I can remember a time, it was back in 2006, I was laying in bed, and I was in that place of just about falling asleep, and I felt like I was dying. I don't know how else to say it. I was moved in my physicality to a place of extreme discomfort. And Lyle was out of town, my sister was in the other room, and I thought, I have to get up, and I have to go tell her to take me to the emergency room. And as I laid there feeling this discomfort, I thought, what would I tell a doctor? I don't hurt anywhere, but everywhere. I didn't understand what was happening. There were times when I didn't have a measurable heart rate. There was such an influx of energy over in above my body. You know what I'm talking about? So as I laid there, I heard two words, and I believe divinity spoke them to me, and it said, just breathe. And when we talked about the principle of the new wineskin and the cloth, one is expanding and one is contracting, and I saw lungs. And just breathe. You take in things that sustain you, ether, and you breathe out which no longer serves you. So as I laid there in bed, I was taking in some kind of energy, frequency, and as I took it into my body, it rolled down my abdomen, down my thighs, into my knees, into my calves, and into my toes, and made my toes buckle like this. And then it released, and it would come back up my body. Just like that. I was experiencing a divine intrusion, and I know that our DNA is being affected by these moments when we're experiencing a divine intrusion. And I would be remiss to teach you about these things regarding coming into the storehouse without telling you that you may experience some unusual things in your body. But your body is becoming a vibrational link between one age and the next. You carry within your body a higher frequency, a higher vibrational value than others. You're not better than anybody else, you're just a first fruit. Okay? Next. Go ahead and go to the next one. And I've already covered this too. Again, literalism is one-dimensional and dead. The letter kills. We're mortal. If we want to escape this dimensional level, if we want to be clothed with immortality, if we want the corruptible to put on incorruption, we're going to have to do things differently. The letter kills. You're going to have to look at things in an expanded metaphorical sense to understand where we're headed. One more. In a birth canal, remember we talked about water and how water represents human consciousness or human thinking, limited human thinking. When you look at the process of birth, what does the baby breathe in the womb? As it enters into the narrow way, what happens to the baby's lungs?
It's squeezed.
It enters into a period of restriction and confinement, but only for a season while the water is being expressed from the baby's lungs. You will not think like a human. You won't. For those that heed the call and enter the storehouse and receive the meat, you are not going to be doing business as usual anymore.
Right.
If you you want to transition the age, you need to leave behind the former things. Must. Leave behind the former things. And again, did you all see Groundhog Day?
Oh, yeah.
That's Bill Murray there with a groundhog on his lap. Who did not see Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day is a movie where Bill Murray repeats the day over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until he changes the way that he thinks. Simply put, you need to rent it to watch it. We can't do business like we used to. We're going to have to leave behind the ways that are just plain human, dogmatic, literal, historical, in order to embrace the new thing that is being dispensed today. Okay, we're almost done. The Son of Man, this is one of the best things I've ever written. The Son of Man is humanity expressed through slumbering divinity.
Good.
When the divine is slumbering within you, or Jesus asleep in the boat of humanity, we are considered the Son of Man. And when the scripture speaks to the Son of Man, he's speaking to the portion of you that's below the plane of the earth. Awesome. Son of Man, will these bones live? Mm-hmm. The Son of God is divinity expressed through awakened humanity. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? The Son of God is divinity expressed through awakened humanity.
Yes.
All creation groans and waits
the
manifestation of the key to ascension and resurrection is an understanding the fundamental difference between the ego and the divine self, or the Son of Man and the Son of God. Next slide. Do your work. Heed the call. Get into the storehouse. Still your mind. Hear the words that are not uttered with sound. Let the wind blow through the upper room. Your job is to simply do your work. Sacredly, secretly, and silently. And those with eyes to see and ears to hear will respond.
Yes.
Does anyone know who the Arcturans are? That's our sun right there. It's a Jupiter, it's about one pixel in size. Sirius, Pollux, and Arcturus, and there's stars bigger than that. Remember when Lynn was saying last night that we're stardust?
Right.
Extra-dimensional intelligence is speaking to us. We're not limited to the words in the Bible.
Right.
There's energy out there seeking to help us, seeking to help our transitional phase. And you don't have to worry about saying the right things or doing the right things. You just need to become who you are, which is divine. Go into the storehouse. I know, I'm sorry, I'm beating a dead horse here. Get into the storehouse. Still your mind. Eat the meat. And be able to give meat in season so that everyone has meat in my house. Next slide, babe. The intuitive mind is a sacred gift, and the rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift.
That is so true.
Jesus riding into Jerusalem, the donkey is a metaphor for the ego. The donkey became the faithful servant. The ego will become the faithful servant as it brings this life into death. And the next time that we see the Christ emerge, it's on a white horse. Is there any slides left?
Okay,
I think that's it. That's it. Does anyone have any questions?
Is this on your website?
I will post this on my website. I don't have it on there right now, but when I get home, I will. And my website is just barbarasimons.com. If anyone wants a card, they're up here. But any questions? I know that I thought, surely, this is what you want me to teach.
I mean, I struggled with it because there is so much intuitive information. But in order to get where we're going, this bridge across the network, you know, the veil in between the left or the east and the west hemisphere is called the, what's it called? Mark. Corpus callosum. A network of nerve fibers that keep it separated, the halves of the brain separated. And so, you know what scientists call that? Corpus callosum?
The veil.
It's called the veil. So the thing that keeps us dual is lifting.
So what is the Holy Ghost?
It's ether. It's who you are. When it says the one that's coming after me will baptize you, and those are divine intrusions. Anybody else have any questions?
Did you record all that?
Is it recorded?
It's
yes, please.
It's on video. That's
May I offer a verse? Your scripture in Hebrews 5:14. The solid food is the Greek word that we get the English word stereo, and it comes back from a root word that we derive the word histamine. And when you do Hebrews 6, it's always translated King James, therefore, through the discerning of good and evil, it is the word dia, which means to the operation to penetrate. So we break the text that he actually says, through the good and evil, having penetrated and having experienced this, having through these experiences, we leave the archaic beginning of the Christ discourse or the Logos.
That's powerful. And there's purpose for all of our experiences. There's no human suffering in vain.
That's right.
Purpose for all of our experiences. There is no suffering in vain. Everything that we've experienced is necessary for the divine to experience it, because where we're going, when we dismiss the emotional component from judgment, all we have is sheer creative emotional currency.
Right.
And we create the reality that surrounds us. In order to create the age to come, there has to be those that will walk across and create the bridge by non-judgment. And you're being given the charge to stop judging between good and evil. Now, there are those that work in law enforcement, and their job is to combat and to fight. But the tithe is not called to do that. The tithe is called for something different. And if you are the tithe, and I believe that you are, you must leave behind the former things. I have turned off my television and I don't watch the news anymore.
That's good.
Because I can't be pulled, I can't allow that energy to be pulled downward. Remember, water will seek its own level. And we must be buoyant. We must walk above human consciousness. It is not going to be business as usual. It's going to be different.
Amen. Can't have all these distractions.
Right.
Too many distractions.
So I'll close with that before I start to cry. Okay.
One quick thought.
Yes.
She said something, get over my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may or may not know that my number two son had a stroke. He preached with me. He built buildings in Mexico where I would have. Even went into Jamaica, different places where I would put a group of people together, he could build a building. So when he had the stroke, I said, it can't be. You've been there. This can't happen. This can't happen. It can't happen. But it did.
Yeah.
When I reconciled to that, I seen the MRI of the brain where the stroke had hit. It's amazing, the stroke, the one side of the brain is damaged, but it affected the opposite side, because some of you probably know that. And he kept saying, I can't see, and we've had him to the eye doctors, and they looked at the MRI, and the doctor told him, me himself, he said, there's nothing wrong with the nerves of his eyes, and yet he can't see. There's a psychological effect from the fact that he had a stroke that put fear, all kinds of torment, and it's had a psychological effect on him to the point to where he says that he can't see, and because he says he can't see, he can't see. And yet there is no medical reason why he can't see further. Quit telling yourself you can't see. There's no reason why you can't see.
Amen.
Just go to the storehouse.
Yes.
Let's go eat some lunch.
That's right.